Apologetics, Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right. Welcome, everyone. It's Matt Slick Live, and I'm your host, Matt Slick. It's the 22nd of October, 2019, for the podcasters. And if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. If you're new to the show, you're not sure what's going on, well, this is a Christian apologetics show. And what that means is I defend the Christian faith. And I do debates with atheists, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Roman Catholics, Islam. Who knows? Whatever, you know, I defend the Christian faith, teach theology. I was just doing that today with a friend, teaching Christian theology, answering some sophisticated questions on the nature and work of Christ, his two natures and things like that, going into stuff. I enjoy doing it. So if you have a question about the Bible, I used to have a t-shirt that I used to wear around, and I outgrew it. And the t-shirt said, ask me your toughest question about God, Jesus, the Bible. That's what I had. And I do stuff like that. So you got a tough question, you want to talk about whatever, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Love to hear from you. And we have three open lines right now. So why don't we just jump on the calls? Let's get to Richard from California. Richard, you're on the air with Matt Slick.
Hi, Matt. How you doing?
Doing all right, man. Hanging in there. What do you got, buddy?
Matt, I got a question about abortion.
Okay.
Have you ever met a woman who's had an abortion?
Yes.
Was that woman a murderer?
Well, it depends on how we want to define things like that. But let's just say definitely it is a problem. And definitely the killing, I would say, of human life. It's a good thing for the blood of Jesus Christ that he forgives us of our sins. We trust in him. So, okay.
She is a murderer?
I'm going to not say that word. And the reason is because it has too much of a connotation in a lot of different areas. They definitely killed. And so I'll just leave it at that, because because there are women who are listening. There are issues here, and I want to say that they can find forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Okay.
But Matt, we had a guest speaker at our church the other day.
Mm-hmm.
She was a woman who had an abortion, and I just thought to myself, what if a man came into the church and admitted he had shot a child? We would say he's a murderer. He doesn't belong in our church.
Well, wait a minute. What if the person had done prison time for that and was out of prison and had repented, of course, confessed his sin, and was now growing out as a Christian, preaching and teaching, and he said this is what he'd done?
Well,
should he be welcome in his church?
If he wasn't punished.
The
woman has the abortion. She's not punished. And she comes into our church, and I'm sitting there realizing this is an unpunished murderer.
Well, I understand what you're saying, and there are a lot of people who do hold that similar sentiment. My goal is to point all people who've had abortions to the Lord Jesus Christ, and to have them find forgiveness in what he's done. Excuse me. Oh, boy. Sorry about that. And that's what I want. I'm not trying to make light of that. I just had a yawn creep up on me. It's an inopportune time. But I want people to understand that they can find forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And that's what I'm going to say. People already have enough guilt about these things. They're already struggling with these things. And I'm not going to just say, oh,
but Matt, we're talking murder.
Okay, Richard, I've already gone over this. I'm trying to be gracious.
But why are you talking soft about murder, Matt? You're talking soft.
Okay, we're going to move along. And And it's not talking soft, it's talking softly. And again, what I'll say is that my goal is to minister to people in that area. They need to repent and confess that abortion. And I want people to realize that the seriousness of what has happened can only be found the forgiveness can only be found in Christ. So that's what I want to say. I want people to turn to Christ and face the issue of what they've done and find forgiveness in Him. All right, so let's get the number out again. Let's go. Then we'll get to Brittany. But the number is 877-207-2276. Look at Brittany from Baton Rouge, L.A., Louisiana. All right. Brittany, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt.
Sorry about that.
How's it going?
It's going. Hanging in
okay.
There. What do you got?
Listen, you had a caller calling yesterday about the demonic, and it just kind of it spurred a question for me. So I'm just getting my son from daycare, so I'm going to ask the question, and then I'm going to hang up if that's okay so he doesn't disrupt the show. But what do you do as a Christian when you think you encounter someone that is possessed? I work in an elementary school, and so sometimes I, think that there may be some influence over, I'm not saying this has been very, very rare, but I've almost felt like I've come in contact with a few children over the years as an assistant principal with some, could be called some influence. And I just, want your take on what you would do when in the event that you encounter someone of that nature, what are some, biblical stuff that you can shed a light on that?
Okay. Yeah, that's not a problem. You always pray. It's a spiritual battle. If there's a demonic force in your presence and through a possession or even an oppression, you want to make sure that what you do, there we go. You want to make sure that what you do is you want to pray and ask the Lord Jesus to bind that spirit, to bind the demonic forces. Now, this is a difficult topic, and so I think I'm going to spend a little bit of time on it, but let me get the phone number out. We have five open lines, folks. You can fill in while I'm talking about this. 877-207-2276. When you encounter someone you believe is demonically possessed, then number one thing is you must pray. You must pray for several things, one for your own protection and one for the deliverance of that individual. But you do not want to cast a demon out of a person unless that person is willing and ready to be forgiven of their sins and trust in Christ. Matthew 12:22-32. This is a section of scripture that talks about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit and Jesus casting out demonic forces. And he says something in there very interesting. Let's see if I can find that exact verse, because I want to talk about this issue of what to do. Let's see. And it talks about, where is that? Where the spirit goes out into dry places and looks for dry areas. And if it doesn't find a place to abide, it comes back to its first place. And the second state is worse than the first state. And so what, I forgot the exact verse. And so what we're seeing here is that demonic forces can be cast out by Christians who have the authority, because we have received Christ, we have the authority of God, John 1:12. And so we don't want to just cast a demonic force out unless that person is willing to be become a Christian, because, as the Bible says, as Jesus says, a demonic force thus released goes out and about into these various areas, these various dark places, dry area, desert areas, it says. And when it can't find a place, it can't find a host, it comes back to its initial host there, and then the second condition is worse than the first. So this is why you don't want to just cast a demon out. And this is a very serious issue. Make sure that the person is willing to receive Christ. Well, in order to do that, you have to spend time with a person. And in order to do that, you have to be involved with what's going on at a demonic level. And this is problematic. A lot of people don't know what to do. And so what we see in Scripture is the binding of demonic forces. And what we never see in Scripture is anybody praying to demonic forces. So what will happen a lot of times is Christians I've heard of will pray to demonic forces. They'll speak to the pray to the devil. I rebuke you, devil, and blood. Don't do that. There's nothing like that in Scripture that says that they're praying to demonic forces. Matthew 12:45, thank you very much. And it goes out and takes along with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself. It goes in and live. That's Matthew 12, 44 and 45. Thanks for that. And so you want to make sure that that when you're doing all of this, you're prayed up. Because when you stir the pot, the demonic forces can easily turn on you and attack you. And they can attack you physically, they can attack you spiritually, they can attack you in different ways. So when I tell people who are involved with this, don't be praying to any demonic forces. You pray to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you ask Jesus to bind, you ask Jesus to do these things. And the only time you would directly address a demonic force is if it is absolutely present and manifested in front of you. Then it's not praying to, it's just simply addressing. And you can rebuke that individual demonic force right there. I've never been in that situation where I've seen such a demonic force manifested in that way, though I do believe that I have seen a demonic manifestation, and that's another story. But nevertheless, so when you are in this kind of a spiritual battle, what will happen is you will often find that you'll be coming under spiritual attack. You'll find that things can become difficult in your life. And you got to understand that when you start tackling these issues and the demonic forces, they you get their attention, and they don't like it. And so I can tell you that there have been times in my Christian life where I've felt, and this is ambiguous, it's subjective, but felt as though something was coming, something bad. I don't know how to describe it. And over the years, I learned to trust that feeling. And it would not happen very often, but there would be this just kind of a sense, something's coming. And a lot of times, things would happen. And I'd say, yeah, I knew that. I knew things like this were going to happen. So I got to the place where I started telling my wife about this. And then what I would do is I start praying through these things, before them and through them. And then when I would get these sensations, then I noticed by praying through them and about them and before them, preceding them, a lot of times they wouldn't happen then. And so because of what I do for a living, where I directly attack demonic forces and demonic doctrines in Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Islam, Catholicism, various things, atheism, and stuff like this. So I often will come under attack. And so I have to be in prayer about this, asking God to protect, asking God to guide. But I never pray to demonic forces, and nobody should do that. Everybody should be seeking the Lord Jesus Christ and asking Him for that. There are healing ministries, unfortunately, what a lot of Christian ones do. And if you are involved with any one of them that does anything like the following, you need to just abandon them. But there are supposedly Christian ministries that will cast demons out of people, out of Christians. And we've got to talk about that, all right? And hey, folks, if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, folks, welcome back to the show. We got a caller. Let me just get on to that. And this stuff with the bad stuff can influence people. So if you're curious about it, you want to call and ask more questions, we can talk about it. I think that's what's going to happen right here. By the way, hey, give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Paul from Richmond, Virginia. Hey, Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Matt. Hey, thanks for your ministry.
Oh, praise God.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Mm-hmm. Great, great. Per the previous caller's question about casting out evil spirits, the following question arose in my mind, who or what are the evil spirits that are referred to in the scriptures, you know, particularly in the New Testament? They appear to be, to me, categorically different than the reference to angels, but wanted to get your take on it. I've heard some people talk about they are possibly the disembodied spirits from the Nephilim, but thanks for sharing your insight.
Sure, there's two main theories about this, and one is that a third of the angels fell in the fall, and those are bad angels. And then, just as you said, I was going to say that. One of the theories is that demonic forces might be the disembodied spirits of the half-breeds between fallen angels and human women in Genesis 6, the Nephilim. And one of the reasons they think that is because the demonic forces seem to always want to inhabit a body. And so, and when we call it demonology, the study of demons, it's a broad term at that instance, all negative angelic spiritual forces kind of a thing, demonology. But demons seem to be, there seems to be some evidence that they are the disembodied spirits, and angels or fallen angels are the created, directly created beings by God that rebel against God. So that seems to be the case.
Well, thank you. That's what I thought, because clearly in the New Testament, it's referred to evil spirits all the time and not angels. So clearly there's a differentiation, but thank you. I did have another question. I want to be respectful to the other lines and callers.
Well, we don't have any. We got nobody waiting right now. Four open lines. So folks, give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get back to you. What do you got, man?
Great. So another question. Obviously, we know that there's no difference between male, female, Jew, Gentile, and black and white. But wait.
Let's correct that. When you didn't say the one thing that needed to be said in the context, it says in Christ, neither male nor female, Jew.
Yeah, well, in Christ.
Right, and in Christ means those who are saved, etc. Right, there are differences between male and female and everything. So yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad there are.
Yeah, there are.
Yeah. So, but specifically, I've heard recently this issue of the Jewish people over in Israel right now, and this question about, I don't know what's the issue about, the topic about Ashkenazi Jews, and are they Jewish by birth? Are they Judaizers, converts to Judaism?
You mean the ones in Israel?
Yes.
For I understand a little bit of everything. Because you can become a convert to Judaism, and then after a few generations, you're considered a full Jew. I forget how many it is. Someone else will know that. You let me know. And you have to have a matriarchal...
But in terms of...
Go ahead.
Gotcha. But in terms of the descendants, after AD 70, Titus came in, of course, the persecution, and the Jewish people fled. Deuteronomy 28, when God says he's going to scatter his people across the world and then bring them back. I guess my question, Matt, is this. When we look at Old Testament scripture, when do, from scriptural perspective, when do the Jewish people come back into the land? Is it when Messiah comes back?
May 14th, 1948, Israel became a nation again. The Jews came back into the land. It had already been coming back in, and it became a nation at that time.
I thought the Old Testament scriptures were stating that the Jewish people would not be in a prosperous situation until he came back, but that they would be because of the sins and the curses that he spelled out in Deuteronomy 28, that they would not be reach that fulfillment until he came back. Because clearly, it seems to be at this point, though the Jewish people have gone through an incredible horrendous past, i.e. the Holocaust, they seem to be doing very well when you look at from an economic standpoint, even in this nation and globally.
They've been doing well.
The prophecy.
They've been doing well throughout the centuries.
They've been doing well spiritually. I'm sorry?
They've been doing well. Look, I don't know what verse you're referring to, so I can't comment on a verse I'm not
familiar
with.
Deuteronomy 28. I got you. Yeah, the whole chapter 28.
Okay, hold on. I got you. I'm saying I don't know those verses in the context of what it is you're saying, so I can't make a comment. I can't stop right now for 10 minutes and just read study it in light of that.
Of course. So I guess the broad question for you is, with your knowledge of the Old Testament and prophecies of Israel, meaning the 10 tribes and the 2 tribes in the south, your broad knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures, and we know the New Testament talks about we are in a time of the Gentiles, and when the full number comes in, then, so in light of that, my question is, based on scriptures of the Old Testament, just not any particular, but just in general, are the Jewish people still supposed to be in a state of kind of scattered and not necessarily identified and prospering?
Okay, so since you cited Deuteronomy 28, and since I already said I don't know that chapter in light of the context of what it is you're saying, I can't make a comment. So for you to further the question based on the same information is kind of not going to work. So
yeah, man. Well, my apologies.
Okay, let me ask you that question. Hold on. What church do you go to?
In Richmond, Virginia?
Okay. Well,
Are you familiar with churches in Richmond, Virginia?
I'm sorry. You got to speak a little bit more slowly. I'm trying to understand you. What church do you go to?
I'm familiar with churches in Richmond, Virginia. I'm happy to share that with you. Yeah, of course.
Okay. I'm not hearing you. Sorry. I want to know if you're...
Can you hear me now?
I'm curious to know if you're a Black Hebrew Israelite or... something.
No, man. I'm born again. My heritage is African American, European American, and Native American.
Okay.
But right. I do have a question that pertains to Scripture, and you refer to Deuteronomy. I'm not talking about Deuteronomy 28, Matt. I'm saying just the Old Testament in general, the basic prophecies of the Jewish people. I'm not talking about Deuteronomy 28. I'm not talking about a cult like the Black Hebrews and
Paul,
I'm talking
Paul,
about I'm a
Paul,
boy. Uh-huh.
Paul. The Bible says that Jews would be regathered in Israel. They were regathered.
But does it say when? Does it say before Messiah comes or after?
Excuse me. They were regathered. Have you been to Israel?
Matt, I'm only asking from the scriptural perspective, do you...
All right. We're just going to move along. A little too argumentative and not being good conversation there. Why don't you give me a call, folks? We have 4 open lines, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, folks, welcome back to the show. Hey, before we get to the callers, let me just say that the Christians in the Nuba Mountains of Sudan are under attack by Islamic extremists, and Persecution Project Foundation is working to help build a maternity hospital in Nuba where Christian women can deliver their babies safely. And there's no hospital for many, many miles. So the Truth Network wants you to help them out, if you would be so kind, to meet, we want you to check things out. And what you could do is go to truthnetwork.com, and on the right-hand side of the webpage, you'll see a slider, graphic slider. And when it comes up with Medina's song, click on that, and you'll be able to get right there and get all the information you need. It's a good thing to help out these people, these poor Christians who are being persecuted by the Muslims in the Sudan, and they're in the Nuba Mountains, need a hospital. And you can go to truthnetwork.com, and you can check out the information on the right-hand side for that. All right, let's get on the phones to Vicki from Richmond, Virginia. Vicki, welcome to the show.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, no problem.
My question is kind of two-part. I was wondering your thoughts on the woman's dress today.
Mm-hmm.
From, I think it's in Deuteronomy, where it says a man shall not wear anything that pertaineth to a woman, and then vice versa. And then where Paul says that that a woman's head should be mm-hmm. covered, I was not raised in a Christian home. I didn't get saved till I was 40, and I ended up in a independent Baptist church where dresses were the mainstream, and I did that for 18 years. And when we left there, went mm-hmm. to another Baptist church, but there was more lax in the dress, and so I've gone from wearing a skirt always, all the time, to, I guess I'll get back to you, I don't know what my question was anymore. I've done so much talking.
Well, I like that. So how should a woman dress? What's the biblical thing? We can talk about
yes,
that.
Yes, yes.
They should dress modestly, and women need to understand, if you're a woman, please listen to me, men have twice the visual processing area in the brain than the average woman does. We're very visually oriented. We get distracted visually. And you got to take that into consideration when you're dressing. Women look good. Men look like a lump of rags wearing jeans. Women, they are nice looking. Okay, so we get distracted. That's the way it is. And so I remember once I was preaching, and I still remember this. This very nice-looking young woman, short skirt and a low top, chose to sit in the front row. And she loved my preaching, apparently, because she was leaning forward in great interest while crossing her legs. I had to literally look away and focus on the different sides of the church in order to continue to preach because she was distracting. Now, I'm a guy. I'm just admitting this is the way it is. Women, she's oblivious. Women are often oblivious to how they dress. They think it's just, oh, that's just whether we can dress because that's what everybody else does. That's not what it is. You do not want to contribute to the lust of anybody. And women's bodies just look better than guys' bodies, at least to guys, if you're normal. And so what we have to have here, women should dress modestly. And they should dress in a way that's consistent with the culture that you're around. And this is where we get into relativism. So it's relativistic. So in some cultures, for a woman to wear pants is just horrible. You don't do that. But in other cultures, it's perfectly acceptable. And it doesn't mean now that when a woman wears jeans that she's dressing as a man does. Transvestites and stuff, they do that, and that's sinful. They shouldn't do that because they're dressing up as women or as people of the opposite sex. In that kind of a deceptive, kind of a lust-inducing, kind of a weird way. So women shouldn't be dressing like that. So my wife, she's a nice-looking woman. She has a good shape, good body. And she, you know, will go to church, and she has, over the years, many, many times, do you think this is appropriate? Because she realizes that her aesthetic opinion is different than mine. And I'll say to her, that looks very nice, and it would be distracting. I'm distracted right now, and I'm your husband. You know? And so she goes, thank you. And she dresses a little more modestly. And she does it on purpose. She doesn't hide. She doesn't wear a sackcloth and ashes and walk around in a tent.
Okay.
I mean, you can still see her shape and stuff like that, but she doesn't dress in such a way to try and get anybody's attention. She dresses femininely. And so she's a good example of that. And that's the idea. Okay. Women need to understand that men notice women. And women should not dress in such a way to accentuate those various areas of their body without considering the effect that it might have. And men are bombarded in society with this kind of a thing all over the place.
I agree.
Bombarded.
I agree. I agree with you 100%. They just don't want men to be normal men anymore, you know.
I was watching a show just a few nights ago. I forgot what show. And just guys and gals, whatever, you know, people. And the women, I noticed, you could see her cleavage, and her dress, her top was way down. And it was supposed to talk business and stuff. And I'm like, you know, if I owned a business, I'd say, excuse me, can you go put something on more appropriate? You know, or I'd make a private little thing and say, it's distracting. Why is it women get to do that, and then they get mad at men when men look? You're not supposed to do that. They don't understand.
It's a different culture from when I grew up. When I grew up, you just didn't dress like that. You just didn't.
Hey, dress modestly,
you know,
that's
in the
all.
50s.
Women can dress very nicely, very femininely, with just do it modestly. That's all. And that's it. And there's nothing wrong with that. But they need to understand that men are different than women. Whether I don't care what society is saying and what these wackos are saying, but we're different physiologically. We just are. And men are more visually oriented. And women need to consider that. That's all. And ask, you know, a good rule of thumb is, would I wear this around the Lord Jesus?
You know? Right. So, okay, that is a good rule of thumb.
All right.
That is. All right. Thank you so much. It's a good highlight for me.
Well, praise God. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Matt. Right.
You're welcome. Now, folks, just so you know, I'm not saying women have to dress like prudes and can't be stylish and feminine. Of course they can. Just be sensitive, that's all. And ask a man or somebody you trust about what might be good attire. That's all. All right, let's get to Joanne from North Carolina. Joanne, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir. I feel sort of embarrassed to ask this question, but something that was talked about earlier kind of rattled me. I wish that you and your wife could just come to our house and have a pajama party and we'd just talk all night. Because I've got so many questions, but the thing, and Charlie and his family.
Yeah, Charlie's great. Well, you'd like his family better than mine. He's a nicer guy.
I don't know.
Oh, he's awesome.
What turned me, this is not a nice thing, but it's of the 70s, what turned me on to you was the Asperger's, and my grandbaby has it. And so when my husband has listened forever, and so I just, you know, I want to see the potential that can be reached, you know. And so it just brightens mine. Then I call my daughter and say, "Darling, did you get to hear it? If not, catch it tomorrow." It's been a hard thing, you know. But
how bad?
Praise God,
bad
it could be so much worse.
How bad is Asperger's? Mine's high functioning, obviously. How bad is
hers? Hers is too, but she's just 7. And
oh,
so
it's a girl.
She has trouble.
A girl who has Asperger's.
Yes, sir.
That's unusual. Okay.
Yes, sir. And
call me Matt. That's fine.
Matt. My husband is by the same name.
Oh, okay.
And everybody says I make his name 3 syllables. But, you know, I noticed way before my daughter did, because I had raised 2 girls that were different. But she's so loving and she's so precious, and you know, they've had Bibles since she was little bitty. They go to her room every night, and this isn't even what I called about, but she's very gifted musically, and she's already on piano.
We have a break, so hold on, and ask your question after the break, and we'll talk a little bit, and we'll get to the callers, okay? That's okay. It's all right.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. We'll be right back, folks, with Joanna. Or Joanne, right after these messages. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, folks, this is a reminder. We could certainly use your support here at CARM. If you are interested in supporting us, all you got to do is go to CARM.org/donate. CARM.org/donate. We'd really appreciate that, because we do need to keep on the air, and we do need to pay the bills and all that kind of stuff that is necessary for ministry. That's just what it is. And if you're so inclined, all you got to do is just go to CARM.org, C-A-R-M.org. /donate. And if you don't like doing that financial kind of support, that's fine. We have an Amazon wish list, too. All you got to do is go to CARM, any page on the right-hand side. It'll have the word wish list. Just click on that, and you can find various things that we use and need, and it's very helpful as well. All right, let's get back to Joanne. Okay, Joanne, are you still there?
Yes, sir. I apologize. I wandered.
No. It's okay.
My question is, when you were talking about praying to demons, it's addled me because I hope I'm not doing wrong and that I will say, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, you can rebuke a thought. You can rebuke, you know, something comes in your head. That's horrible. Lord, I just rebuke that in your name. That is, you know, that's fine. But you don't want to pray to the demonic forces. You know, sometimes people will pray to the devil. Devil, I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to tell you about this. Don't do that. I've seen people do this on TV, wackos who don't know what you're talking about and stuff. Don't pray to the devil.
Well,
pray to the Lord Jesus.
And is it wrong to say you can just get behind me today?
Don't pray to the devil. Don't pray to them. You can get behind
praying?
Me. You're praying to them. Don't do
then
that.
Then I'll stop.
Yeah, just stop. Just say,
I'll
Lord Jesus, if you think there's a demonic force, you know, involved in something, just say, Lord Jesus, would you please help? Would you please, you know, fight for me? Just ask Jesus. You could never go wrong that way. But if you think there's some demonic force going on...
ignorance on my part.
Well, no, you've been taught this from a lot of pulpits. I just want to ask pastors, is what you're teaching in the Bible? I mean, go look. Find things in the Bible. Find it. Anyway, don't worry about that, okay? Just don't worry. Just... when you have something that you think needs to be rebuked, just say, Lord Jesus, and ask him to do it. You can't go wrong that way. Okay?
Well, I'll sure be hanging up and asking him to forgive me for the times I said, get behind me, Satan.
Well, you know, when that was said, Jesus said that to Satan. He was right there. If there's an actual manifestation, you can address it. You know, otherwise, just talk to Jesus about it, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome so much. Okay? Well, God bless, Joanne. All right?
God bless you, Matt.
Okay.
Okay. Have a great day.
Okay, you too. God bless. All right. Let's jump right over to Sabrina from Richmond, Virginia. Sabrina, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hi. Basically... I have a question that's been confounding me. I spent most of my life running from God.
Okay.
And then when finally I gave it a chance, you know, I definitely knew it was the truth.
Okay.
but I'm confounded by this question.
Okay.
One of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not kill. And in the Bible, doesn't God tell certain people to kill people? I can't understand it.
Killing is okay. Murder is not. Murder is the unlawful and the unrighteous taking of life, but killing is not. So if someone comes into my home, may it never happen, and I have to defend my wife at the cost of another person's life, which I pray would never happen, but if that's ever necessary, as has happened in many homes across America, then that person is not murdered, the person is killed and is innocent. But if I don't like someone's shirt color and I were to kill that person, that is murder. That is unrighteous. It is not justified. So when God says, thou shalt not kill, really it should be, thou shalt not murder. Because he does command people to take other people's lives. And that's what's going on. It's a King James-ism that has become part of our culture. But we're not to murder. But we are allowed to kill. Now, not that we want to go around killing.
I can understand. Right. I can understand that. And I do have another comment about the rebuking of, you know, demons. Is that's so crazy because, you know, a preacher on TV does it a lot, and she said to do it. So I had been doing it for a long time. Like, well, I never heard anyone say not to do it.
Yeah, don't do it because the Bible doesn't teach doing it. The Bible doesn't teach praying to demonic forces. The Bible teaches, may the Lord rebuke you. That's what the Bible teaches. We have a lot of people on TV who are charismatic but don't know much and couldn't fight their way out of a wet paper heresy. And if it's a woman pastor on TV, then that's doubly wrong because a woman shouldn't be a pastor or elder. So we have a lot of false teaching out there on TV.
True.
I want to be on TV. I want to get on to one of the networks, I forgot, but it's just a matter of money and getting things together. And I want to start teaching and doing stuff like that. But the thing is, there's a lot of false teachers out there. A lot of people just don't know what the Bible says. Where does it ever say in the Bible to speak to a demonic force that is not just there, okay? You speak to demonic forces that are there. That's in the Bible. But where does it say to actually pray to one? Because that's what it is when you pray. You know, like the Catholics pray to their saints. They're people that are beings that aren't with them. They're someplace else in the spiritual realm, and they're praying to them. That's what it is. Right. The same thing goes on with the demonic forces. So, you know, get some wacko on TV who sits there and says, oh, you know, you can just pray to the devil. You can just talk to that devil. You can just say to that devil, I rebuke you. Really? Well, where does it say to do that in the Bible? Where does it say in the scriptures to bring up Satan, address him personally in a prayer, and rebuke him? You don't find it.
Oh my gosh. Well, you really have to be careful who you're listening to, I guess.
Yeah, now look, here's the problem. The problem is you can listen to people on TV with the perfect hair, or you can listen to a guy named Slick on the radio. I mean, you know, which is worse?
Yeah.
That's a joke, folks.
Right. Right. I get
it. At least I teach biblical theology, and I teach what the Bible says, and not only what it does say, I don't try and teach what it doesn't say. It doesn't say anywhere that it's okay to pray to a demonic force that I'm aware of. Now, if someone knows a verse and you show me, I will stand corrected, and I'll say, hey, there it is, I was corrected, no problem, let's move along, and I'll adapt. I always adapt to what I find in the Word of God. You never find any place in Scripture where it says in any place, way, shape, or form that I found in all the years to pray to the demonic forces and address them in your normal prayer life, because that's exactly what it is. Where do they get off teaching this stuff? I wish these amateurs would just stop. Oh, it bothers me.
The longer that I'm, you know, have been with God, the more I do see the truth and, you know, kind of who is not teaching the truth and who is. So, you know, I'm still
scripture.
Finding out. Yeah.
Try and check it with Scripture.
But the Scripture is hard to understand for us newbies.
That's why you
need
to.
I read it, but I'm not.
That's why you need to study. And there are certain perspectives that are better at helping people understand than others. And I try and help them in Bible studies and various things. I teach more than people realize I'm teaching on the radio. I actually have things in the back of my head. I will say certain things, certain times, certain ways, in order to try and get people to start thinking a little bit differently while I'm answering another question. Because I want people to understand about God's sovereignty, about our position between other people and God's sovereignty, and our responsibility before God and before people. These are the fundamentals and the basics. But anyway, okay, so I need to get going here. We got other callers waiting, okay?
Okay. All right, thanks. All right.
God bless, Sabrina. All right. Let's get over to Ryan from Utah. We lost Ryan. Let's get to Anthony from Greensboro, North Carolina. We lost him. Let's get over to Carlos from Buffalo, New York. Carlos from Buffalo, you're on the air.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going, man. It's going. What do you got?
All right, so I was reading an article that you guys wrote about the Hebrew Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
And I just so happened to be one. So okay. I had some, I was pretty confounded about the whole Trinity argument.
Mm-hmm.
Because it says in John 1:1, you know, in the beginning was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Mm-hmm. And it also says in Revelations 1 that the revelations of Jesus was given to him by the Father, mm-hmm. and then an angel gave the revelations to John.
Mm-hmm.
So there are two in the Godhead. I know
what?
That God the Father
to
God,
what?
God to the what? Father and God the Son are God, because it even says in Revelations, like, you know, pray to God who sits on the throne and the Lamb.
But Jesus is also prayed to. And Jesus is also prayed to.
Oh, yeah, I know. I agree that Jesus.
So here's a couple things really fast. We're going to run out of time, but I want you to call back tomorrow so we can talk and people can hear our conversation. I would love that. But let's keep talking, but I'm just telling you, we got about 2 minutes at the most. But I don't think you understand what the Trinity is. Do you know what it is?
It sounds like God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost.
The Jehovah's Witnesses could agree to that. The Mormons could agree to that. The Oneness Pentecostal could agree to that. And the Trinitarians could agree to that. And they all don't believe the same thing. So your statement isn't specific enough. Here's what the Trinity is. There's only one being, one God. He's eternally existed as God. And he has also eternally existed as three distinct simultaneous persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So there's one God and three distinct simultaneous persons, not three gods, not three gods. We don't believe in polytheism. One being who exists as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's the doctrine of the Trinity. Okay?
Well, but in other places, it says that, for example, when Jesus was baptized, there came a dove right after his baptism.
Mm-hmm.
And the dove said, "This is my son."
Mm-hmm. No. The dove didn't say that. The Father said that out of heaven.
Also,
there's excellent support for the Trinity right there. Very good. You got any other verses you want to talk about the Trinity? It's good. Good stuff. Yeah.
He also says that he is the mirror image of the Father.
Express
and then when
image,
he was
yes.
even when he was in the flesh, even when he was in the flesh, he said, "How do you call me good? There is none good but the Father." Meaning that
no,
he
says,
made
no,
a,
no,
a
wait, 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 wait. He says, only God is good. Why call me good? Only God is good. Let me ask you, was Jesus good?
Yes.
Okay. So he's God. By your thing. Now, you're a black Hebrew Israelite, which means you deny the Trinity. And we're out of time. Mm-hmm. Call back tomorrow. You want to call back tomorrow, Carlos? Okay.
Sure.
I'd love that. We could have a great conversation. People will want to hear what we have to talk about, okay? Hey, but we got to go, buddy. Sorry.
All right.
That was Carlos. And hopefully, folks, will call back tomorrow. May the Lord bless you. And by his grace, back on here tomorrow. We'll talk to you then.